There we go. It's good to see everybody today, especially several visitors with us today. For our visitors, just so you know, I'm not the normal evangelist here. Jason Cicero is our normal evangelist, but he is down in Alabama right now preaching a meeting there. So you get me instead. Okay. As Greg mentioned at the beginning of services in the verses that he read, we have had a theme taken from Proverbs chapters 3, verses 5 through 8. And we've looked at different applications of that theme in our lives throughout the year. And Jason's done a great job in drawing different lessons for us from that. And I thought it'd be good to take a look at a New Testament example in the book of Galatians, because in the book of Galatians, this is something that we've studied, it seems like, several times over the past years. And we talk about several things in there. But when we look at those lessons through the lens of Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8, hopefully we may see some things in a way maybe we haven't done so before. So just wanted us to take a look at that and see what applications we can draw for ourselves. Just to review quickly these verses. Verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So, simple question. When will the Lord direct your paths based on that verse? Well, when you trust in Him with all your heart, when you do not lean on your own understanding, and when you acknowledge Him in all your ways. When you do these things, then He's going to direct your paths. But the opposite of that is also true. And I think it's important for us to understand that. When will the Lord not direct your paths? Well, when you do not trust in Him with all your heart. When you do not lean on your, when you do lean on your own understanding, and when you do not acknowledge Him in all your ways. If this is the pattern that you're following, then He is not going to be directing your paths. He's not going to make your paths straight. And as we continue, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Other passages talk about health and refreshing, things along that line. And again, we ask the same questions, maybe. There we go. What will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones? Well, not being wise in your own eyes and fearing the Lord and departing from evil. But again, the opposite. What will not be health to your flesh and strength to your bones? Being wise in your own eyes, not fearing the Lord and not departing from evil. If this is the pattern that you're following, then you're not going to have that health and refreshing. You're not going to have that health to your flesh and strength to your bones that comes from the Lord. So when we think about Paul's letter to the Galatians, to the churches of Galatia, I think we see some lessons in both of these ways, if you want to call it the positive and negative way of looking at this. The first part of Galatians, he's talking to them about some false teaching that has come in, and he's having to address those things. But also, not just the false teaching itself, but the effect of that false teaching on the Christians there amongst those churches in Galatia. And the negative impacts of that because of the pattern, the way that they are conducting themselves based on that false teaching. But then as he concludes in the last couple of chapters, in chapters 5 and 6, he talks about, okay, he kind of flips that into a little bit more positive. Here are the things you can do to get going in the right direction again and to enjoy, as a result, enjoy this health and refreshing from the Lord. So, again, as we look at Galatians through this lens, hopefully there'll be some good lessons for us. We want to begin in chapter 1. The first thing that we see in chapter 1 is that they're listening to a lot of dangerous voices. Chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So, what's happening here? Paul had come through and he had preached to them the gospel of Christ. And to make it real simple, that salvation comes through faith and submission to Jesus Christ. But then he had these false teachers come in behind him and were preaching something else. And that something else was, no, you have to keep the law of Moses. Specifically, that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. That salvation depended on keeping the works of the law, not faith in Christ. And that's what he's having to deal with in this letter. First couple of chapters, he talks about this point and that in showing them that the gospel and proving to them that the gospel he has presented to him is indeed the true gospel from Christ, that what they've been hearing since he left is a false gospel. It is, as he puts it here, a perverted gospel. And I think as we go, we're going to touch on some of those points here in just a second, because that's important to understand. But he also talks to them here about how we should treat that when these false, dangerous voices are entering and trying to get our attention. Is that something that we should indulge or listen to? And he's like, no. Not only just don't listen to them, but treat them. They should be accursed. That's some strong language. So at the very beginning here, we ought to get the picture that he's seeing a situation that is very, very serious. And that ought to be the first lesson to us. But let us continue here. The first problem with these voices is that it's leading them to not listen to the voice that could help them. You know, whether he's talking about that it's keeping them from listening to him, the voice that brought them the gospel, but more importantly, it's keeping them from listening to the one true voice, Jesus, that can help them. Okay? So we have that. But even more than that, when you jump over to chapter 3 and look at verse 1, it says that they have been bewitched into not obeying the truth. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? We could spend a lot of time on that, just that verse alone, if we wanted to, and gain a lot of good points. But first, let's talk about who has bewitched you. That word bewitched is really interesting. When you look that up, the definition that I found was to bring evil on one by feigned praise or an evil eye to charm, bewitch one. It's kind of interesting. You're bringing an evil on somebody, a hardship on somebody, an evil on somebody through this feigned praise. In other words, somebody's coming in to con you. They're making things sound good. They're charming you and tricking you into believing something that's not true. And that's not going to lead to salvation. It's leading to other things. It's leading to evil things. And that, in this case, it's leading them to not obey the truth. Sometimes it's easy for us to listen and see things round about us and to kind of downplay them. To not take them maybe as seriously as we should. And to not see them for the true evil and for the true danger that they are. I'm as guilty of that as anybody. I'm not going to try to make myself out to be anything better than I am. It's easy for us to do that. And the reason why, or one of the reasons why it's so easy to do that, is because we're being charmed. Somebody's coming in and they're a smooth talker. And it's easy for them to make this sound not as bad as it really is. And we have to be watchful of that. But the thing that he's really getting on them on here is that, hey, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed before you. It was clearly shown who Jesus Christ was. He was crucified for you. Salvation is coming through him in that crucifixion where he redeemed you through his blood. That's the truth of the gospel. But they were listening to a perverted gospel. And what else was this leading to? Well, as a result, when we start looking at this through the lens of Proverbs 3, because they're listening to this perverted gospel, God's no longer directing their paths. They're not going in the direction that God would want them to. So, because God's no longer directing their paths, because they're listening to this perverted gospel, what's happening? They're losing what they had received in Christ. They're losing the freedom from sin and returning to bondage in chapter 3. I don't have chapter 3 up on the slides here. You can go look for it yourself. But that's what they're doing. They're losing. In chapter 3, he stresses to them the freedom that Christ has brought them through his crucifixion in redeeming them from those sins, the liberty they have, the freedom they have, and they're losing that and returning to the bondage that was under that old law. He talks to them in chapter 3 about the purpose of the law, but that purpose had nothing to do with saving them in and of itself. It was to bring them to Christ, bring them to the one who could save them and free them from their sins. But he goes on, it's not just the freedom from sins, but the inheritance that they have in heaven. They're losing that as well by following, by trying to go back to the old law. And chapter 4 talks about that. So when you see that and look at it through the lens of Proverbs 3, where they're losing that health and refreshing. They're losing everything that they gain in Christ. And I think it's easy for us to see. We can go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis 3. And you think about what happened with the serpent and Eve. And isn't that what he's describing here, exactly what happened there? You know, when you think about health and refreshing, when you think about paradise, that was the Garden of Eden. They had it. But the serpent came and he bewitched. Truly, when you look at that definition of bewitched, that's exactly what the serpent did to Eve. He bewitched her into not obeying the truth. She knew exactly what God had said for her, for them to do. She quoted it to him. And he just said, no, that's not exactly true. And he bewitched her into thinking differently and to not obeying the truth from God. And as a result, they lost everything. That health and refreshing was gone. They lost that relationship they had with God. So what do we do about that? Paul talks to them about all these things that they that's concerning them. He talks to them about what they're losing. So how do we handle that? Well, he touches on a few things in chapters 5 and 6. First of all, in verses 7 through 10 in chapter 5, I just take verse 9 and put it here, but let's look at the surrounding verses. When we talk about a little leaven, leaven's the whole lump. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear the judgment, whoever he is. It's an interesting, when you look at these verses together, there's an interesting message here. Now, you know, after talking to them about the things that they've lost and the things that should be troubling them, now he's kind of stepping back and changing around a little bit and actually giving a little encouragement. You ran well. You were doing a good job. But who hindered you? What happened? Somebody came in and started hindering you from obeying the truth. Well, that voice doesn't come from God. That's coming from somewhere else. And the first thing he says about that is, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Whenever you see that, recognize that it needs to be addressed quickly, because if you don't, it's going to get out of control. But then again, more encouragement. I have confidence in you that you will have no other mind, that your mind is on following the Lord and doing what He says. Those who trouble you, they're going to bear their judgment. God's going to take care of them. But right now, He's concerned about the Galatians, those people. So, in short, the answer there is to recognize the dangers of these voices, to recognize the teachings that they represent and address them quickly. And treat them as Christians. Understand the dangers and treat them accordingly. Okay? But then He goes on. Later in chapter 5, He talks about walking in the Spirit. Starting in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then skipping ahead to verse 22, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay? So here we talk about walking in the Spirit. So in walking in the Spirit, several good things come there. It helps us to keep our focus on God and His ways. It's a mindset. Where are we going to focus? Are we going to focus on the things of the Spirit, or are we going to focus on the things of the flesh? What they were being taught by these other teachers was really built around the flesh. Yeah, the law of Moses had come from God, but they were misapplying it, using it in a way God never intended. And as Paul further exposes them in this letter, we see that it was all coming from fleshly desires and trying to prevent themselves from being persecuted. So we need to focus on the Spirit so that we can grow in Him. But it also helps us recognize these other voices and to avoid their dangers. If we're keeping our focus on spiritual things and thinking of things in spiritual ways, it's going to be a whole lot easier to notice things that don't match up with that. Sometimes we get caught up in thinking we have to learn about everything out there. It's like, no, you learn the truth. If you learn the truth, you're going to recognize the not truth when it comes your way. And then also in doing so, this keeps us from fulfilling the lust of the flesh, which is the thing that He actually says in there. What else can we do? Well, in chapter 6, first two verses, talks about bearing one another's burden. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think there's a great lesson here as we're looking at this in the way we are, is that, okay, if we want to, we need to be there for each other. We're not in this alone. We're all wanting to go to heaven. We all want to do what God tells us to do, but it's tough. Those voices out there are pulling us away. We're there for each other. It should help us we should help each other recognize these voices. We should help each other guard against them. But we're also there to help those who fall victim to those voices, to help pull them, bring them back, and to restore them. Okay? So, when we look here, hopefully we're seeing a lot of good lessons for us. There we go. So what are these lessons? You know, well, let me just ask a few questions here. And you just kind of answer them to yourself. What are the voices that we're listening to? You know, these voices come from everywhere. And this list I've made here is by no means exhaustive. Okay? I talk about family, friends, school, co-workers, the news, internet, YouTube. And I'm sure if we went out here, talk to each of you. Y'all could fill out more. And but I think the point's taken. The voices come from everywhere. Some may be well-meaning, but some aren't. Most aren't. But I think the thing that we need to understand is that when we're looking at these, and this kind of goes back to keeping our mind focused on spiritual things and walking in the Spirit and the importance of that. If we've got our mind on spiritual things and trying to keep continuing that walk, we're looking at things through God's eyes, through God's lens, if you will. If we're listening to all these voices and getting caught up in all these voices, however you want to term it, now it's easy to start looking at the truth through the lens of these other voices. And what's going to happen when that happens? Well, exactly what he said in verses 6 through 9. You start getting a perverted gospel. You start getting a perverted truth. You're not seeing it the way God is presenting it. You're seeing it through the lens of these false voices. And when that happens, the truth becomes perverted. It's diluted, all sorts of things. It's losing its effect that it should have on you. So, what voices are we listening to? Are we listening to voices that are going to help us better understand the truth and be better servants for God? Or are we listening to voices that's going to distort or pervert those truths? So, it raises the need for us to study and know His truth so we can recognize these false doctrines, these dangerous voices when we hear them. Okay. At the end of the day, Jesus is the only voice that we should listen to. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. Jesus said that. It's simple. It's a simple truth. It amazes me, quite frankly, how many people who claim to be Christians can't understand that simple fact. If you're a Christian, that's what you believe. If you believe something else, then you're following a perverted gospel that is not coming from Jesus. That's tough language in today's world. But that's what he said. Not Tony, him. So we need to understand that and accept that. Amen. And do we understand the dangers? Okay. We can be bewitched just like they can, like they were. We shouldn't think that we're any better than the Galatians. Okay. I keep saying the Galatians, Galatia was not a city where you had all these people. It was a territory. It was a province. And he's writing to several churches here this time. But we can be bewitched just like they were if we're not careful. And if we allow ourselves to do so, it's going to lead us away from the truth. Okay? And if we do, okay, we can lose our freedom and inheritance too. When you go to 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him therefore who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That message is for us as much as it was for those in Corinth. Yes. One of the sayings that I'm familiar with, don't get caught up reading your own headlines. Don't get overconfident. Don't get cocky or anything thinking, hey, I've arrived. Or don't get caught up thinking, hey, this is for the young people. This is a danger they have because of all the voices that they have trying to get their attention today. That is true. They have a lot of voices that are pulling for their attention. And it's tough. When we were talking today in class, and had some great comments along that line. The way the situation is today versus maybe when we were younger or years ago. Yeah, it's a danger for our young people. But you know what? It's not just them. The danger is for every one of us. From 8 to 80, it doesn't matter. The danger is there for all of us, and we need to make sure we understand that and take heart in that. Okay? And then the question has to come, are we actively working to address these dangers? Whether you're talking about, from our perspective as Greg, Jason, myself's perspective as elders, are we doing everything we should be doing to address these dangers on behalf of the church and looking after this flock? I think we are. I hope we are. But if there's things we can do to better do that, let us know. As parents, you know, that responsibility with you and your kids, and with us and our kids, I'm a parent. But primarily as individuals, are we working to remove that leaven that's there and not letting it take root? Are we working to walk in the Spirit and stay focused on the Lord? Are we continuing to bear one another's burdens and to help each other through this? You know, we're bringing the lesson to a close already. But as we do, I want you to understand, you know, the question may be, okay, hey, did Tony decide to talk about this because he's seeing this great problem that we have here at Annandale? No, it's not so much a great problem that I'm seeing here at Annandale, but it is something that we need to be mindful of. And we have seen, I'll be honest with you, especially through the pandemic and some of the lessons we've learned through the pandemic, some of these dangers have been exposed. And we've seen the results of that over the last couple of years. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it doesn't exist here. It's a danger. And we've seen it. And we need to be, that's one reason why we need to continue to talk about these things, to be mindful of them, to make sure they're ever before our face so that we can be aware of them and to address them before it becomes a huge problem. Understanding that that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So, it by way of encouragement to each of us, think about these things. And also, be honest with yourself. What voices are you listening to? Are you listening to more voices than what you should? I need to ask myself that. You need to ask yourself that. And answer it for ourselves. And whatever that answer is, take action as appropriate. Okay? But I hope that just in bringing these things to our remembrance, it's been beneficial for you as we continue our walk with the Lord. In just a moment, James is going to lead us in another song, number 280, I do believe. Yes. I have decided to follow Jesus, which we didn't plan it ahead of time, but I told him, I sent him a title after he's chosen songs, and I told him, I sent him an email that says, you did a great job whether you knew it or not, or words to that effect. Because that is really what we're talking about here. We've decided to follow Jesus. And in making that decision, that has a lot of ramifications to it and our lives and how we're going to live for Him. So at this time, I invite you all to stand and sing this song.